apologize in advance that my seem to have not uploaded some minor changes to my notes, but so certain things like the problem of the day are not going to appear here, but we can discuss it. So first, last class we were talking about backtracking. Let's just sort of remember what that actually meant, okay, as we zip through these slides. The key idea of backtracking was we had a backtrack program there. The backtrack program had was a way of systematically searching through all solutions, okay, an entire space of solutions where the state of the solution is represented by a vector, basically an array of elements where there is an element in the ith position, okay? And the way that the backtrack procedure worked was it tested, is the current solution a winning solution, what's currently represented by our state space, a solution? If so, do whatever you want to do with your solution. Otherwise, construct a list of candidates for what the next position in the vector might be. Okay? And then one by one, insert one of those candidates into that slot. Once you have it, call backtrack recursively. Okay? This is recursive. Okay? With the new state space. Okay? And it will explore all implications of extending the solution by that one element. Okay? Any questions about that? That is, I believe, the basic backtracking procedure. Any questions about how this works? A question like, I don't understand how it works, is a good question. Okay? Any questions? And last class, we had looked at a couple of applications of this. Namely, constructing all subsets of things and constructing all permutations of things. Okay? Any questions? Now, the problem of the day was how to construct derangements. Does that sound familiar to anyone? Does this sound familiar, like this is what it was? Leah says yes. Okay, good. Okay, so make sure everyone's on sync. So what is a derangement? I always love that word, by the way. Okay? But a derangement is a permutation with the property that no element is in the right spot. So let's say we consider a permutation, all permutations of, let's say, three elements. 1, 2, 3. 1, 3, 2. 2, 1, 3. 2, 3, 1. 3, 1, 2. 3, 2, 1. Which of these guys are derangements? The first one is not a derangement. An element that's in its right spot is called a fixed point. But this is not, the first step one is not a derangement because all three are fixed points, right? Is the next one a derangement? The second one a derangement? No, two fixed points. One fixed point, I guess, right? Next one, fixed derangement? No. Next one, derangement? Yes, that one is deranged. 3, 1, 2, deranged. And 2, 1, 3, 2, 1. No, that's not deranged because of the two in the spot, right? So the question is here, suppose I want to print out all the derangements, okay? That's really what the problem was. Tell me how to write a backtracking program that efficiently printed out all derangements, okay? What things do we have control over to do if we're going to write a program to compute derangements? How do we do it? Okay. What routines are we going to have to write and what should they look like? That's the way that I'd be thinking. Any ideas? Okay. What are the routines that we write in order to customize a backtracking program to doing anything? Which routines do we have control over? Okay. We have the is a solution. Seems to me that the entire customization of a backtracking program involves modifying or writing these three application-specific routines. If we can write those three routines, okay, then it should do what we want. Okay, once we have the important things we need to customize are those routines and conceptually, what is it the spots in the array are going to be holding, right? A sub I is this array of slots. What are the values in each slot going to be and what does each slot mean? That's the conceptual part. And then it's writing those three solutions, those three subroutines to customize it. So what should the elements of our solution be? Let's think about it. Our array, we want to find all the arrangements of n elements. How big should n be and what should be in each slot of that A vector? Any ideas? Okay. Permutation. So what does that mean? Seemed to me that what I would want it to be is A sub I is going to equal the ith element of my derangement. Does that make sense? It's exactly, it should smell a lot like my permutations. Remember last class we went through how do you construct permutations? What is the difference between a derangement and a permutation? A derangement is a special type of permutation. One that can't have, the A sub I cannot be equal to I. That's basically the difference. It's a permutation with that property. Okay? So my thought would be, if I'm going to write this program, I might even write the program in front of you. Okay? How would I write this program? I would be modeling it off of my solution for permutations. Okay? And there's actually at least two different ways I could do it. Which routine should I change over permutation? I could test change is a solution. Well, process a solution means print it out. I think I'm happy with the way my printout program routine worked for printing out permutations, right? So this I'm probably not going to touch compared to my permutation solution. So if I want to have it do derangements, I could either change both of them or one of, is it a solution, or construct candidates. Okay? Let's go back and let's look now at what those, remind ourselves what those look like, actually, when we were looking let's go back forward here. So here was my permutation code. Here's where I constructed the next set of candidates, right? And what did I do? Basically, what this routine did was it took a look at all the elements that had appeared so far in my vector, right? I had here where do I do this thing? Right. Here, what this is really doing, if you look at it, it's setting up a bit vector that's going to say A sub I is true if the I is in the initial part of, if the ith element is in my permutation, right? And then what I'm going to set my candidates for the kth position is any element that is not already in my permutation, right? That's how I constructed all the candidates for a permutation. How can I modify this? So that instead of generating all permutations, it generates derangements. I claim a simple modification to this. Yes? So what is the other thing I have to do here? It says, I see. So this is sort of saying here, I'm trying to construct the candidates. Let's read this. I'm not going to write the code now. It says here that we initialize it equal to false. So nothing is in the permutation is equal to, everything's, no element from 1 to n max is in the permutation initially. I take a look at which ones are in the permutation, and I avoid them here. I'm only going to consider the candidates which in perm sub I is false. How could I avoid any generating derangements? With one line, I can make this avoid derangements. Okay? How am I going to do it? I think the following will work. What if I just say infirm sub k is equal to true? Okay? What is this doing? Here I'm trying to figure out what is the candidate for the kth slot. Right? That's what this routine is trying to do. Here what I did was set earlier, infirm sub I was false for every element in my initial solution here. Okay? I said, which element is not in the, if a sub r, if a particular value j is in the initial prefix of my permutation, set infirm of j to be true, so I know I don't generate it again, right? So any value for which infirm sub j was true, that j would not be in a candidate for me, right? So all I'm going to do is by adding this one thing, ka-chunk, I am now going to avoid ever putting any element in the ith element in the ith spot. Does everybody see that? So this is it. And all I've got are derangements now. Okay? How many people see this? How many people don't see this? I would like to see it explained again. A couple people. Okay, good. What is going to be, how do I make derangements? Let's make some derangements. Okay? What are the candidates for the first position in my permutation? Okay? We're going to try to do backtracking. What am I, if I have a permutation, what are my candidates for the first spot? Not 1 through 3. What is the candidates for the first one? 2 or 3? Does everybody agree with it? Put a 1 in the permutation. It has no chance, right? So I'll start out with 2. Boom. Now I put in 2. What are the candidates for the second spot? 1, not 1, 2, 3. It has to avoid the 2, and it had to avoid the 2 anyway, right? 1 or 3. Boom, I'll put a 1 in here. Now what are the candidates for the third spot? Okay? It can't be a 1 or a 2. And it can't be a 3 because it's in the third spot, right? No candidates. Empty thing. Instinctively, we backtrack. Ka-chunk. Stick in a 3. Okay? Now, what's the candidate? What candidate's left for the third position? 1. Does everybody see that? Ding, ding, ding. I've got a derangement. Now I'm going to come back here. Nothing else to do with a 2 there, with a 3 there, right? So I backtrack from here. I backtrack from here. I now try putting a 3 in here. If I put a 3 in here, what candidates are there for the second spot? Only a 1. 1 and 2 haven't been used, but the 2 will fail my new test, right? So all I'm going to do is stick in a 1 over here. And now with a 3 and a 1, what's my candidates for the third spot? It can't be a 1 or a 3. So all that's left is a 2. It can't be a 3, but already it couldn't be a 3, right? So 3, 1, 2, ding, ding, ding. That's my other derangement. And that's all I can ever go through. Does everybody see that? Adding this one test of line right here, and now I am building derangements. Okay? Any questions? Okay? Any questions about how we did that? Question like, how did you do that? It's a good question. Why does it work? It's a good question. Yeah, question. How do you do that? Okay. Let's try another way. Okay, so what am I doing? The key to doing backtracking is to do these, make sure that when I construct my candidates, construct candidates does what? It says, what are the possible things you can put in the next slot? That's what construct candidates is doing. And if it is a derangement, by definition, in the ith slot, I cannot have an I. Okay? If so, it's a permutation, but it's not a derangement. Okay? So what are we doing? By definition, the candidates, what are the candidates for the ith slot and the derangement? Well, It couldn't have appeared earlier in the derangement, and it can't be I. The machinery I had before for generating permutations ensured that it couldn't have appeared before, and this one line I just added is enough to make sure that element I doesn't appear in there. Okay? Any questions about that? I think that wasn't very hard, actually, once you understand what these things do and how you do them, okay? Certainly the idea, you may say, I can't read your code, especially when it's all scrolled up. But still, it should be clear that candidates are not, in the case of all permutations, it was all the elements that haven't appeared before it. It's all the elements that haven't appeared before it and element I. Any questions? Is there any other way we could have done this? Let's actually take a look at this, if there's any other way to do it. Okay? What other routine can we modify, perhaps, to change whether or not, make sure that everything we print out is a derangement? Okay? Yeah? Another thing I might have done is instead of changing my construction, I could go through and construct all solutions and change is a solution. How would I change is a solution? Let's say I left the other one intact. Now, is there a way I could make this program print out only derangements? Okay. What would I have to change is a solution to do? Yeah? So now what would I change it to? Again, this time I don't guarantee I'll get the syntax right, but it's something like this. If k equals n, certainly if I don't have all the elements in place, it's not going to be a derangement, right? Then, okay, what am I going to do? Maybe I'll put some brackets. That's right, this is C. I don't have then. Okay, what am I now going to do? 4i equals 1 to n. Forget whether it's C. We'll do it in Skeena code, okay? For I goes from 1 to n, if a sub I equals I, then derangement equals false. Everybody agree with that? Maybe I'll start out here and say derangement is true. Derangement equals true. Then I will test each element. If the arrangement is false, if the ith element is sitting in the ith position for some element, set the arrangement to false. And then at the end, I'm simply going to say return derangement. Does everybody see that? This Boolean variable now is going to tell me whether or not I have a derangement. Okay? Any questions? This one will work, will also give me the correct answer. Well, now, which is faster? That's now the more interesting question. Which is faster? Okay. So one thing you're saying a little bit is that every permutation you say I'm doing this test for, and this test is expensive, I will claim the cost of the test has almost nothing to do with it. Okay? What is my problem? This is an algorithm that is going to be what? What is the running time of this algorithm going to be, the derangements one? I claim if in the way that it is now, it is going to be equal to the number of permutations times the cost of doing the test, which is order n. Does everybody agree with that? What's the number of permutations? Not 2 to the n. N factorial. How does n factorial and n factorial times n compare? About the same, okay? I mean, asymptotically, it makes a difference. But practically, it makes almost no difference. Why is that? What is 10 factorial? 10 factorial is about 3 million, okay? That's about the limit where I feel comfortable saying I can do it, okay? 20 factorial is what? Very big. too big to say I can do it. What's 10 factorial times 20? That extra 20 isn't really a killer, okay? Does everybody see that the thing leading it is really this n factorial thing? And what I would claim is, if you ask me which one is faster, I can tell you which one should be faster, okay? Or which one smells like it should be faster, which is going to be a little bit different. I like the first solution better. Why is the first solution better? Okay, yes. So the hope here is, if there are very few suppose there are very few derangements, right? The other one is hopefully going to take time that's somehow proportional to the number of derangements, right? If the number of derangements is much less than the number of permutations, you might be able to list all per derangements very quickly. Does everybody see that? You're doomed with this way of doing it, the n factorial. You're generating all permutations. But if the number of derangements was small, then you might win, then you should win. You're almost certain to win. If the number of derangements is small relative to n factorial, doing it the other way. Because you're getting a fair amount of what we will call pruning. What is the pruning? At several steps, what do we do in the first step of that derangement theory? We said the first step could be 1, 2, or 3. But no, it can't be a 1, right? Because we're only interested in derangements. With that one decision, no, it can't be a 1 there. We've thrown out a third of all permutations. Does everybody see that? With one backhanded flip, we've thrown out any permutation that begins with a 1, okay? And that's where we would hope to win, okay? That's why the first solution should be better than the second one. Does everybody see that idea? People see why, yeah, you see why the first solution is better? Or is that a question? Question. Well, the question you're really asking is how many derangements are there on n items? Okay? That's really, I guess, the question you're asking about. The answer is not n minus 1. Okay? In fact, does anybody know the number of derangements? Okay, you shouldn't know. There's no reason why you should know. I know the number of derangements. You know how many derangements there are? The answer, it turns out, is n factorial over e. Okay, e is that 2.718 thing. Okay? Now, forget right now where it comes from. Well, let's think if that's believable. Are there a lot of derangements or a few derangements? Let's think about it. Okay? I will say there's a lot of derangements. Why would I say that? Well, the following I'll convince you of. Okay? What's the probability? Let's say we randomly picked a permutation by, by just filling things in out of a hat, right? There's n items, there's n slots. I'm going to randomly pick a number from 1 to n, ka-chunk, and toss it in the first slot. What's the probability I haven't violated the derangementness? Okay? Or equivalently, I'm still alive with that probability. Does everybody see that? Now let's say I do the same thing again. I now pick a number out of the remaining n minus 1 numbers and toss it into the second slot. What's the probability I'm still alive with a derangement? Something like n minus 2 over n minus 1. Does everybody see that? This is actually not completely right, by the way. Okay? So I'm not going to defend my counting. But what I am going to defend is, if you look at it, is my probability each slot that I fill pretty good or pretty bad? Well, if we keep multiplying this out, does anybody see what the pattern is? The probability of success is the probability of all these things, right? What's the probability of success going to be? This is going to cancel, this is going to cancel. Something like 1 out of n. So that's something like, tells me that 1 out of every n things is going to be a derangement. at least. And that's a lot of them, right? So there are a lot of derangements there. So what's interesting is there happen to be so many derangements. It turns out it wouldn't make too much of a difference, this case, whether you generated them the smart one-line way or the not as smart, right, a couple of lines way. But if so, you'd only get off because you were lucky, because the number of derangements happened to be very common, okay? If you're searching for something rare, you need to do your backtracking so that you're correcting your mistakes as you go along. Let's think about your bandwidth problem that you have now. Everything you have as output is going to be a permutation, right? It has to be a permutation that minimizes the bandwidth over all the possibilities. Are there going to be a lot of solutions or a few solutions? Probably a few. Can't be sure. Depends upon the graph. But likely you've got to hope that there's a few solutions. Why? Because if you're going to be doing something that takes n factorial time and looks at all the permutations, you could write one that generates all permutations, then looks at, has process solution, check how long the bandwidth edge is, right? Does everybody see that's one way we could do this, is to just use my same permutation generating thing and have process solution do the dirty work of testing. What is it? But much better would be one such that you're only affected changing that where the thing that you're really working on is generate candidates. Because you want to generate the possible things to add to the permutation such that it will only create something that is going to be potentially shorter bandwidth than what I had before. Then hopefully you can do a lot better than constructing all the things brute force. Right? Any questions? Okay. Any questions? Okay. So that is the idea of how this backtracking thing works. And once you understand it, a lot of things can become very simple. Okay? And really all your game is, if you want to pigeon your hole into my way of thinking, is that you are changing these three routines. Okay? Any questions here? Any questions at all about that? Okay. So let's look at some other backtracking problems here. But this is actually a good point to stop if you're confused or if you have any uncertainties, because I'm going to get to a couple of other examples that might be a little bit more complicated. Okay. But I think a lot of the complexity is covered by what we have talked about here. Any questions? Any questions at all? Okay. Actually, anyone can think about what derangements come up? Just because I like talking about derangements. One last thing. What in a combinatorics class is derangements come up in? It's sort of a problem. When you take your combinatorics class, maybe they talk about it. Because it's kind of a fun question. Of suppose, let's say, that it's you somehow stated in this hat problem or this envelope problem, that somehow that everybody has a letter. Let's say I'm going to write a letter with your grades in it, okay? You guys come at the end of the semester, you're going to want, remember in the old days you had letters, they were stuck in envelopes? People remember that? Okay? So suppose, let's say I was given the job of, let's say I printed out everybody's grade, I had an envelope for everybody's grade, and I went to someone, well, okay, and let's say that to put your grades into envelopes, suppose instead of reading the name on the envelope and the grade sheet, I instead just randomly shuffled up the envelopes and put somebody's grade in somebody's envelope and sent it off. What would be the probability that nobody got the right grade? Okay? That would be, what would it be? It would be basically the probability that you got a derangement, right? Because I have a permutation of the envelopes. If I have a permutation, or which we can think of the envelopes as being then numbered from 1 to n, scrambling up the letters, the report cards, would give me a permutation. Nobody would get their report card if I gave you a derangement. Does everybody see that? And it turns out, what's the probability that no one would get it? You said about a third. Really, it is n factorial over e, because e is about one third. Okay, e is 2.718 dot, dot, dot. Okay, any questions? So that's all about derangement. Anyone else have anyone that you want to know about derangements? Okay, any questions? Yeah, question. Yeah. Oh, okay, so you're saying that instead of the grades in the envelopes, it's the hats and the heads, right? They have the people at the party get hats, they randomly give back the hats. Same business, right? And that's sort of the same. So anyway, the arrangements come up in things like that. When you go to a party or you stuff envelopes randomly and some other things, okay? Any other questions here? Okay, questions? A derangement is an ordering where nothing gets put in its right spot, okay? This is what we call it. Any questions about that? You don't have to remember about derangements after you leave here. More, but you have to, for the purpose of this class, you have to see how I generated them, okay? Using my schema for this thing. Any questions? Okay, let's look at a more interesting backtracking routine. I thought that was pretty interesting. But a famous application of backtracking is something called the eight queens problem. How many people here have ever heard of the eight queens problem? Many of you, okay? It's sort of a classic example of backtracking, okay? And what is the problem? The problem here is as follows. You have a queen in chess can do what? I don't know if everybody here plays chess, but a queen in chess is a piece that can move like a rook in rows and columns. It can move in like a bishop, and it can move along diagonals. Does everybody see that? The eight queens problem says, on an 8x8 chessboard, find a way to put down eight queens such that no pair of queens attacks each other, okay? If you look at this thing, over all the possible moves, this queen cannot hit anybody. There's seven other queens on the board. But this queen can't take any of them out. Okay, does everybody see that? Because they're not in a row, column, or diagonal. Right? Any questions here? The n queens problem. Okay, in general, we can think about an n by n chessboard. The n queens problem asks, is there a way to put n queens down on an n by n chessboard such that none of them can attack each other? Okay? Let's think about it. On a 2x2 chessboard, how can we put two queens down so that none of them can attack each other? You can't, okay? So that makes it easy. What about a 3x3 chessboard? Is there any way to put down three queens that can't attack each other? People are shaking their heads, but this maybe is a little bit trickier. What are my possibilities? Well, I've got to put a queen in the first row. My queen could go here. If I put my queen here, where can I put my other queens? This and this are the only squares available, but they attack each other, right? Maybe instead I could put my queen here. And if I put my queen here, where can I put my second queen? I can't put one here or here, right? I could put it here and I could put it here, but then bingo, they attack each other. Why don't I have to think about the possibility of putting the queen in the third square, yeah? Because of symmetry. Actually, this is an important observation here, okay? If I wanted to go through all possibilities of where to put my queens, the claim here is, for my first queen, I don't have to, if I want to enumerate all the boards, the claim here is I only need consider my first queen as lying in those four squares. Why is it? Why can't there be a solution? Wait, look over here. Here's a solution where the first queen lies outside those four squares. But why don't I have to think about it? because of reflection. Does everybody see that somehow there is a symmetry on a chessboard? Okay, that's the idea that you're using here, right? That if I instead put each queen in its mirror position, I would come up with an alternate queen solution, okay, that would do it. Let's just review that one more time. It's a good example of symmetry, which is an important thing in trying to do fast search. Where is my symmetric solution going to be? I could put a queen here. Let's make them red queens. Could put a queen here. Could put a queen here. Could put a queen here. 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 Does everybody see that my red queen solution has to be an alternate? If I gave you the red queen solution, does everybody see that I could reflect it back to get the other solution? So if I want to search for all possible chessboard coverings, I don't ever have to think about putting a queen out, the first queen outside that. Because once I have found all the solutions where the first queen is in that board, I can take each one of them and reflect them back to chunk, okay? And thus generate it. Does everybody see that? This is the idea of symmetry, and exploiting this is very important. Because I magically just saved half the amount of work I need to do in searching for queen solutions. Yes. Now you're saying, wait a second, why don't I do more? You're saying I could also reflect it what? Horizontally? You want to say, okay, let's think about it. You want to say, look, I could do the same trick going down. Does everybody see that? And that's to a certain extent true, okay? It is clear that for any solution that has, okay, the first queen in here, that does not have the first queen in this column here, I can reflect it back. Does everybody see that? Now my question, and this is now the deep question, can I do both of them? Okay? The answer here is not completely clear to me. We have to think this thing out now. Is it true that if we only consider queen solutions, the first queen is here or here, we will generate each of them? Okay? Yeah? Right? Okay. Well, let's just leave it for now because I don't want us to quite go in this direction. I want us to be aware of what the problem is. Okay? The claim is that symmetry is a good thing to explore. But I've got to be very careful when I take track of multiple symmetries. It's important that I generate each solution exactly once, right? And sometimes when there are multiple symmetries on the board, it is hard to take advantage of all of them while making sure you generate all solutions and generate them only once. Okay? Is there any other symmetry on the board we might have? Okay? That's actually another one. We agree that the blue one's a symmetry, the green one is a symmetry. Any other symmetries we can think of? Yeah? Diagonal. Oops. What other symmetry could I do? Let's make this one in red. I think I said a red line now. Chunk, chunk, chunk. Could I reflect my queens around here? I could put a queen here and a queen here and a queen here and a queen here. And no queen there. And a queen here. And a queen here. And a queen here. And a queen here. Does everybody agree that that has to be a solution, right? So it should be clear that there's several different ways of thinking about symmetry. And if I think about it right, I can potentially cut my search down by only generating one of these symmetrical instances, to searching for only one of these instances and propagating it out later. Does everybody get that point? Okay? The point that should be clear is that if I think about these symmetries right, I may not have to generate all solutions at first by hard searching. Instead, I could take my few solutions I find and propagate them out, okay? Do the rotations on them and things like that to take care of it. Any questions? Actually, can anybody find me another symmetry? Let's take a look. We're talking about symmetry. Symmetry is a good thing. Any other symmetries that we have here? Okay. Let's say you, yes. I can rotate my board. Does everyone, this unfortunately I can't do with this magic device I have here. But take the screen up there and rotate it. Or equivalently, take your head and rotate it. Does everybody see that? If you turn your head 90 degrees, is it still a solution? It's a different solution though, right? So we could rotate it 90 degrees, chunk, and 180 degrees, which, and 270 degrees, and I could get four different solutions from one of them. Does everybody see that? Okay. What? Okay, so now the question, though, is, of course, exploiting all of these symmetries together may get complicated. You're saying that 180 degrees is the same as what? Might be the same as flip. So that a lot of these things might be the same as some other things. Does everybody agree with that? So that's why to exploit it, you need to be a little bit clever. But the payoff is you can search a much smaller set of the search space. Any questions about that? Okay. Okay. Let's forget about symmetry now. And let's think a little bit about how can we solve the eight queens problem. Write a program to solve the eight queens problem using our basic machinery. What do we have to do? Okay, what is our basic machinery? What do we need? We need, first of all, a state space. We need to find a way to represent a permutation, represent a solution using this vector A of slots and boxes. Does everybody see that? So we need to think what our representation of a board is, okay? And then we need to write three routines using it, right? What are those three routines? Construct candidates, is a solution, and what's the other one? Process solution. Does everybody see with that? So what is it that my vector A should do if I'm going to represent a chessboard? How big will my vector be, and how many things will I have in it? So you want to have a vector as big as the chessboard is. Size of the chessboard. What is the size of a chessboard? Okay, well, there's a couple ways to think of the size of the chessboard. Okay? One way to say the size of a chessboard is 8 by 8. Does everybody see that? So one possibility is I could have each spot represent a square on the chessboard. Does everybody see that? It's not the right way to do it, which is what you're saying, but let's think this through for a little bit. Why isn't this the right way to do it? Or maybe it is a right way to do it. Okay? I could have a representation where the ith value is going to be true or false. Okay, is there a queen on the spot? Does everybody see that? I could say this is square 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, dot, 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 right? And this is square 64. And I could search through this space, okay? Any questions about how that works? Does everybody agree that represents each solution? Now, what is bad about that? Now, yeah. Well, you're only one true value of each one. That doesn't bother me so much. It was good when I was generating subsets. Okay? Question, what's bad about this? It's huge. What is huge about it? It's not that it's n squared, and it's not that it's two choices. The way I think it's huge is, I think of this as being 2 to the 64. That is what is huge. If I think of, let's say, all possibilities, if I didn't do any pruning, that's how I think initially about this. There's two possibilities for each spot. There's 64 possibilities, right? Now, the fact that it's 64 doesn't bother me so much if there were less than two possibilities for each one, right? Suppose there was one possibility for each square, right? Suppose I came up with a special representation where, in fact, I have 1,000 boxes for each chessboard, but there was only one possibility for each board. What's my state space going to be? One, okay? So if you ask me what seems huge about it, this is what seems huge about it. It's not the memory, 64 versus 8. Hey, I can afford 64 memory cells, right? But I can't afford searching through 2 to the 64th things, okay? So the question is, can I find a more concise representation? That's the way that I want to think about it, okay? Is there a more concise representation of the chessboard? Okay, Shirley, this is up here for a change. Yes. So one claimed way to reduce it is to instead have the numbers 1 through 8. But what am I now going to represent as being in? Let's clear this thing up. Okay, ka-chunk. I now have the box going from 1 to 8. I'm going to have the contents of A sub I is going to be the queen in the first in the ith row. Now, this takes a little thinking to see that it works. Why can't there be two queens in the first row? They would kill each other, okay? So one good thing about it, since two queens in the first row will kill each other, okay? I don't ever have to worry about multiple possibilities in each row, right? Is it possible, though, I might have no queens in a row? Could I have no queens in a row? You say no, why not? Sort of a pigeonhole problem, right? I've got eight rows. I've got eight queens. If I don't put a queen in the first row, the two queens are going to have to save. Eight queens in seven rows, two queens are going to have to sit in the same row. Does everybody see that? So what's interesting about this now, if you see it, I've only got one queen in each row. Now what do I have? I have a vector of length 8 with how many possibilities for each value? 8. So what is the size of this space? How many possibilities are there if I blindly fill this thing up? 8 times 8 times 8 times 8, 8 to the 8th. Okay? How about, does 8 to the 8th compare to 2 to the 64th? I say favorably. How much better? Well, okay, you could plug it in a calculator, but if you're fancy, what could we do? This is 2 to the 3 to the 8. That's 2 to the 24. Does everybody see, look at this? How much better is 2 to the 64th than 2 to the 24th? It's only 3 different in the exponent, okay? That's a big, big, big difference. Does everybody see that? 2 to the 64th is, you know, I don't know how, I can't offhand think of how big that thing is, but that's, you know, that's how many bits there are, bit patterns there are in a 64-bit machine. What's 8 to the 8th? I think that's something like about 40,000. 8 factorial, I know, is 40,000, right? So it's got to, I think I'm right about that, about 40,000. So 8 to the 8th, anyone want a calculator? What is 8 to the 8th? 60 million? 16 million. So first of all, 16 million doesn't intimidate me very much. Remember, I'd like to think a million is something I can do in a second or so. Okay? And possibly I can do a lot better by not searching all the possible configurations, right? If I wrote a solution now where all I did was construct candidates always saying 1 to 8, and then at the end tested it with the is a solution, making sure that none of the queens attack each other, that would take this many tests. But how can I write now a 8 queens problem such that I do my elimination of bad things the moment they go bad? Where do I have to put my effort into? Yeah? Construct candidates. What do I have to do? What is the key to construct candidates? So what I'm going to do is, for an initial solution, boom. For an initial solution, let's say I put down these first two queens. What are my possible spots for the third position? Can I have a queen here? Yeah. Can I have a queen here? Yeah. Can I have a queen here? No, 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 no. Yeah, no. I only had 3 of the 8 possibilities as being alive. Does everybody see that? 3 of the 8 is much better than 8 of the 8. Okay? And now let's say I put this queen here. Now how many possibilities do I have for the next square? Suppose I put down the first 3 queens. I have, obviously I could put one here. Can I put a queen here? Can I put a queen here? Can I put a queen here? No. Can I put a queen here? Yes. Put a queen here? No. 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 I've only got 2 boss choices for that. Does everybody see this? So I'm very rapidly narrowing down my possibilities. And if I search and prune it rapidly, prune it as quickly as I can, I cut it in the bud, the problem goes away. So what is my solution to the 8 queens? Again, this basically just says what we're doing now. Okay? Basically, we're going to represent it so since no 2 queens can share the same column, we're going to actually represent it as a vector of things. In fact, one thing we didn't notice here, could I have a queen in column 8 and another one in column 8? So in fact, actually, it's a little bit less than it. It's not really 8 to the 8 as my search space. What is my search space? Ultimately, I'm going to be putting down, since I'm not allowed to use any, have 2 queens in the same column. Really, it's going to be a permutation on the numbers 1 through 8, or 8 factorial. And that is only 40,000. Look, at actually, this is actually a really powerful thing we just saw. We said if we did all 8 to the 8, that was 16 million, right? Even just the observation that, in fact, we're just going to avoid putting a number in that has already appeared in the same vector earlier in the vector, and maybe we'll just test it later. Okay, we'll test it in the is it a solution? Are there any diagonal conflicts? That would search only 40,000 things. That is a day's worth of searching by hand for one of you, okay? And if any of you have time over break, you try it, okay? Any questions about that? See how with the right representation, we reduced the problem so it's really not that big. And by adding the other pruning, okay, making our thing, our candidate generator, avoid checking the k-square when we can. Okay? That will give us a very nice solution. So here is my eight queens program. Okay? It's not actually, I don't think they put this example in the book. Okay, it's in my other book, my Programming Challenges book. But if you look at this thing, this is actually really all that I'm doing for candidates. My candidates are, again, the way I like to do it is I'm going to check each candidate, okay? Is the jth square in the ith row legal? Well, what am I going to do? I'm going to check all the earlier rows and see if the queen on that row is violating this square. How can a queen violate this square? Well, it could be a column threat, meaning that the contents of the jth of this row could be equal to j. Or it could be a diagonal threat. And I claim that this is actually all that I need to do to test for a diagonal threat. And anything that survives the threatening tests is a legal candidate, and that's what I pop in my array of legal candidates. Any questions? This is all it takes to search for a n queens problem. Any questions? And with this program, when I ran it, I was able to find all solutions up to like n equals 14 on a 14 by 14 chessboard in a few minutes on a laptop that I would afford, okay, a while ago, okay? So when you do the pruning right, you can actually search amazingly far. Any questions here? Okay. Any questions about how this eight queens thing worked? And it shows that by being clever, you can push on a lot further into an exhaustive search problem than you might think. Any questions? Okay. What am I going to talk about? Again, the other routines, as I said, basically were quite simple. Here, my process solution, since I didn't want to print out all solutions, I just added a counter. So every time I found the solution, I added one to it. And I seem to remember that when I did n equals 14, there were about 360,000 solutions, okay? But it's doing the counting and I'm not, so that's fine. Any questions here? Okay, good. Here it is, okay, fine. Okay, let me, got about 15 minutes left in class. Let me try one other, just a quick description of one other problem before, just a sort of one last example of this. I just want to cover quickly because this is one of the war stories. Okay, so if you look in the book, there's a war story about a problem I worked on about 20 years ago now, okay, that at the time was actually quite interesting. It had to do with a problem in chess where the question was, could you put down in a chess, you've got each side has eight main pieces and eight pawns, okay? The question was, is there a way to put down eight pieces, the non-pawn pieces on a chessboard, such that every square on the board is threatened? Let's go put a finger here, ka-chunk. Here's a square. Is that square threatened? One of the rooks. Okay, let's try it again. Okay, ka-chunk. Put one here, maybe here. This is a nice place. Is this thing threatened? Who's threatening that square? Knight. My claim is, on this board, there are 63 out of 64 squares are threatened. That means one of them isn't. Which one isn't? Anyone see it? I can't remember, so I'm going to be looking. I want you guys to look faster than I can. What? G8, which does that mean? Which column? Seventh column? This one here? This one here? Okay, is that spot free? Zoom. He gets nuked by that, so that's not acceptable. Is there any spot here that is still free? Is that a safe place to be sitting? The one next to the rook, which rook, top rook or the bottom rook? This rook over here, you're saying? This rook over here? Which one, above it or below it? This one here? Does that look like a safe place to be? It's not a safe place to be. Okay? The short answer is you're wrong, okay? There is one spot, I think it is this one. Let me see, I think this is it. Okay? Is that spot safe? What? Somebody's standing there, but it's safe, okay? No one is, you know, it's possible everybody else is at risk. This guy's safe, okay? There's nothing wrong with that. No one is threatening this square. Does everybody see that? The rook would be threatening it, but it's blocked by the bishop, okay? This one, I believe, is the safe square, okay? Any question about it? So someone had looked at this problem starting back in 1849, and people had published said, hey, I can cover 63 of the 64 squares. Is it possible to put them down so that every square is there? And people then spent most of the next 100 years, okay, diligently trying possibilities, okay, and could not find a way to do it, okay? How might you answer this question, okay? What would be the logical way to try to answer this question using technology we didn't have in 1849? You have a computer program try to do this, right? So what we'd like to do is to try all possible configurations, okay? And test whether or not it is a safe way to put it. Does everybody see that? So this gets into our backtracking idea, okay? Can we find a way to put down the pieces such that every square is threatened, okay? So the first question when I think about it is, suppose it's put down, one way to think about it is, we know that there's going to be eight pieces we're putting down, right? There's going to be a queen, a king, a queen, a rook, a bishop, a knight. Each one of these has a square to it. Does everybody see that? One way I could represent that using the same idea was to pick a square here, pick a square here, pick a square here. Does everybody see that? If so, that's going to give me roughly something like what? Something like 64 to the 8th possibilities. Does everybody see that? That's, again, now there's maybe better ways to count it. If you do something like that, it comes out to be about 10 to the 15th. Now, 10 to the 8th is a reasonable amount to search. Well, before it was 10 to the 6th was a million. And I used to say a million you could do was about the limits. But a million things, you're now probably doing about a second or so, is my way of thinking. Now, the difference between 10 to the 6th and 10 to the 15th is big. That's 10 to the 9th seconds. And that's a lot of seconds, right? Yeah. Or you get that many computers. That's another way to do it, okay? But that's a lot of computers, okay? We couldn't pay for that with this kind of budget for this project. Any questions? The alternative is, could we be more clever about how we do things? Okay? One trick we could do is exploit symmetry. Okay? We talked about the same symmetries in this chessboard hold for the other chessboard. Right? We know that there is one queen. It turns out that one way to think about a chessboard, if you want to exploit the rotational and diagonal and all those symmetries, one way to do it is to say that the queen has, you could fix it categorically by saying the queen sits on one of 10 squares, okay? Because we know that because of rotational symmetry, it might as well exist in the top quadrant, okay? And because of rotational symmetry, it's half of that, right? So if you do that right, that would say that we could eliminate it. So for the queen, instead of there being 64 possibilities, there was only 10 possibilities. That's good. Saved a factor of 6. By being a little bit more clever, we could save a little bit more symmetries. And then we were down to a search space of 10 to the 12th. But the key idea here is we're going to want to do backtracking. And in backtracking, we're going to want to build a partial solution, which is going to tell me where do you put these pieces, right? And then decides whether or not I can extend it, right? I need to construct the candidates for the next spot, given what pieces I put down. So let's think about it. How would I prune down? Suppose I have put down a king in a certain spot, a queen, a something else. What are the possible candidates for the next spot in the chessboard? Okay. Do I have to consider all 64 possible squares? Or is there some pruning I might hope to do over my set of candidates? Do people see what my problem is? I want to now try to figure out, given I have put down a certain number of pieces. Let's say I put down my queen and my king and maybe this rook. What are the possible places the next rook can go? Okay? Do I have 64 choices? Or under what conditions might I have less? Any ideas? How could I make it less? Is there any possibility, let's think about it, is there any way that maybe, I could avoid looking at the last spot at all? Suppose I put down 7 of my spots. I put down 7 pieces. There's still 64 minus 7 possible places to put pieces for my last spot. My claim is that I might not have to look at the last square. Why? Suppose the last piece that I'm putting down was a knight. How many squares can a knight cover? If I put a knight in the center of the board where it can do anything a knight can hope to do, boom, 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 boom. Boom, boom, 8 of them. Does everybody agree with that? What if there were 9 open squares here? And I still have, all I have left to do is to put it in a knight. Is there any hope for me to put that knight down? The answer is no. Does everybody see it? What are my candidates for the last spot? None. Does everybody see that? Immediately I can backtrack, okay, and save that search. People get that idea? Okay, suppose, let's say, when I'm constructing my candidates, what I do is the following. Here I have a partial solution. Bung, 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 bung. Partially filled, and a certain number slots left to put in. I have to put in a knight, a bishop. Okay? Suppose that between them, these covered 13 squares. Suppose that the most a knight could cover was 8, the most a knight could cover was 8, a bishop could cover, I believe, 13. Is there any hope wherever I put, how many squares are there on a chessboard? 64. These numbers, 13, 13, 13, that's 39 plus 16. How much is that? Less than 64. Is there any way I could possibly put down a knight, a bishop, so that I could cover it, given my wise choices for the first 3 spots? The answer is no. And so I could immediately backtrack here. There are no candidates left. Does everybody see that? I can prune immediately, okay? Any questions about that? So the claim is here, what I'm pruning on is this number of, I have a number of pieces that I covered here. I have an upper bound for each piece as to how many things I cover. Okay? And when the sum of that plus this is less than 64, I give it up as hopeless. Does everybody see that? Any questions? One last idea to see if you understand this. Which piece should I try to fill in first? The queen, or should I put the queen last? Okay, remember at each spot I'm filling slots in, right? Am I better off filling in the powerful pieces first, or the weak pieces first? Powerful. Why is that? Because the number of slots, the number of combinations is what I'm trying to minimize, right? The weaker these pieces are, the less chance they have to overcome what I have to, the counts that I need, right? So my claim is that if I order the pieces from strongest to weakest and prune whenever there is not enough covering power left to expand my partial solution, I look at much, much less than is necessary, what I would otherwise do. Any questions? Does everybody see how I would save a lot of work? And I do. Turns out I didn't save enough work doing this to make the search possible. If you read the war story, you'll see we had to get pretty complicated in order to make it fast enough on the computer of that day. Okay? But this is the idea that by searching, eventually we got it down to run on a, in a day on a computer from back in that era. Okay? Any questions about it? Okay? That's what you want to do when you're doing backtracking search. Okay? Prune the possibilities as early as possible. Any questions? Okay, I want your patience just for one more minute before, let's just go quickly through this thing to see what it is that we talked about, the backtracking problem. This is your contest problem, right? Your homework problem. You want to go and construct all permutations implicitly. Your program is input a graph. Construct all permutations or all meaningful permutations of the graph. And for each one, then count the length of the longest implied edge. You want the permutation that minimizes the longest edge. Any questions about what that problem is? Okay, like I don't understand what you mean by bandwidth. Any questions? Okay, so that is the problem. It comes up in applications. I don't want to talk about it now, but it does come up. What are the rules for the contest? Make sure you work on it. First, everybody works on their own program. You can talk to your friends. You can work with your friends. But I want you to kind of write your own program to get a feel in your bones as to how this stuff works. Okay? Your goal is going to be to run it on the files I put on the web. Okay? That doesn't mean you can't construct your own, test files. To see, so that you, because one thing that's true with the examples I posted on the web, I didn't tell you how big the right solution is, okay? So you can't just run it and see if it matched my solution, because I'm not giving you my solution, okay? It may be to test your program, you may have to construct your own instances, okay? To make sure that, maybe what you should do is to do something that searches all possibilities first, to give you answers to some of the small solutions to help debug your faster program. Okay? Any questions about that? That's one issue here. Okay? Again, you're going to be graded on speed given correctness. Okay? Fastest program with a wrong answer does not work. Does not get credit. Any questions? Okay? Any questions about the rules? Okay? One last bit of advice, okay? And then I will let you guys go for your break, okay? First thing I strongly encourage you guys is not to optimize prematurely, okay? What does this mean? Sometimes people are going to be thinking to themselves and saying, hey, adding a comment to my program is going to slow it down. I'm not going to comment the program, okay? That is, first of all, dumb, because if you're using a compiled language, that shouldn't happen, okay? But more than that, you're thinking at too low a level. Your goal at first is to prune things away. There is this humongous space of permutations you have to search. And if you can, any of you walk in here saying, I work real hard, I can test any permutation twice as fast as you can, you lose. Because you spent a lot of time working on testing when you should be working on pruning. Okay, does everybody get that idea? Your goal is not to make it as fast as possible to search every possibility. Your goal is to not search as many possibilities. Okay? And almost certainly more work you put in to not searching is going to help. Okay? Any questions? That should be clear. A second thing that I would encourage you is this question of the saying that says, keep it simple, stupid. Okay? This is a strong thing that I recommend here. Some of you are going to be saying, ha ha, I'm going to write a real fast program. And I'm going to add this very complicated test to make sure that I exploit this symmetry. And if this graph has a special structure here, if it's a complete graph, I'm going to test if it's a complete graph. And immediately answer, no, for that case. Okay? Start by keeping it simple. Start by writing a simple program that generates everything and works correctly. And then worry about making it fancier. Okay? And then worry about making it faster. Why is this a good idea? One reason is because if you don't end up getting it to work, your complicated program doesn't work correctly, you lose. Okay? But the other thing is that you need to know where you're actually spending your time. Okay? And you won't figure that out if your program starts being complicated. Okay? Any questions about it? The winning program here may very well be one of the shorter ones in the class, okay? And the winning program will be millions of times faster than the average program. I will go that far, okay, to say. Any questions here? Yes? What programming language should you use? You use any programming language you wish, okay? Provided it runs on a normal computer, okay? If you have, I don't know, some of you may have some weird custom language or something like that. I don't want you to use that. You like C, use C. You like Java, use Java. And if you like anything else, C++, use that, okay? Any questions? The language isn't going to make that much of a difference. Maybe C is twice as fast as Java. I don't know. If so, what's a factor of two? It's nothing. You want to prune. That's where your money is, okay? Any questions here? One final thing that I'll tell you is that there's a program that exists for your favorite programming language that many of you may not know about. It is called a profiler. What a profiler is an amazing tool that will tell you where in your program it is spending its time. So you take your program, you set it up with the profiler, you run it on an example. And then you say, profiler, where did I spend my time? And it will tell you what routine or what line accounted for 97% of the time in your program. The other thing that I can guarantee you is that once you have got your algorithm set up and you're doing all your pruning and you're just ready to go for that last bit of performance optimization, you can either randomly do things to your program to try to make it faster, which is dumb, or you could ask the profiler, saying, where is my program really spending its time? And then you'll say, hey, this line is pretty slow. It's spending all its time in this line. Well, why is it doing that? Oh, it's because I'm doing that. Why am I doing that test that way? Son of a gun, if I do this test, reverse it. Or test the easy test first before I do the complicated test. Suddenly it becomes fast, okay? These are the experiences that you will get to enjoy and look forward to as you do this problem. Have a good break, good luck, and I'll see you guys after break.